God's word is Luke chapter 11, verse 2, the last part of that verse, verse 2. This is the reading of God's word. Your kingdom come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant all of us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear, so that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son. Oh Father, through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what he has done and what he has accomplished for us, that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We pray that you will pour out your grace upon all of us, that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only understand your word, but believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Your kingdom come. When we pray this, what are we asking God? And what kind of kingdom are we praying for to come? First of all, we are praying for a kingdom. Now, a kingdom is a nation that is ruled by a king. So, very first thing you need to understand is God's kingdom, thus the church, is not a democratic entity. It's not a democratic nation. It's not somewhere we ask everybody, the citizens, what they would like to do, and based on the majority, we do whatever they say. That's not church. That is not God's kingdom. It is kingdom ruled by the king. So we are here to obey that king. Whatever that king said, that's what we do. That's why we never take surveys. We never ask you what you want. The question is always, what does the Bible say? And we do that. Well, your kingdom come. So we're asking his kingdom, meaning God's kingdom. Thus, we are praying for God's kingdom in which God is the king. Psalm 47, verse 2, for the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. God says, all the earth is mine. So he is the great king over all the earth. He rules and reigns over all the earth. So he is already the great king over all the earth. So we are not asking for that here. He is already the king of everything. Well, if so, then what kind of kingdom are we praying for to come then? In the Old Testament, we also see a king. Also see a kingdom in the Old Testament. And it is a kingdom of God. It was a kingdom of God. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, God speaks to the Israelites, whom he has saved out of Egypt. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Old Testament kingdom, it was God's kingdom. God was their king. It was God's kingdom of priests. But it was not the eternal kingdom of God. It was a shadow. It was a type. It was an earthly kingdom that pointed to the true and eternal kingdom of God. And the people of that kingdom were not true people of God's eternal kingdom, even though some of them were. But that people together as a one entity, they were also a type. And because they were not true people of God, they did not delight in their king, God. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 and 15. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations who are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your countrymen. You shall set a king over yourselves. You may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your countryman. God already knew that when Israelites, they go into the land of Canaan, that they will want a human king over them. Why? They want to be just like every other country around them. See, these people said to themselves, "Who will set a king over us? Like all the nations who are around us. Like the nations of this world." See, God set them apart from this world. But they wanted to be just like this world. In fact, they were rejecting God as their king. And this is how God explains it in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 through 9. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they said to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them." See, God even knew, even before they go into the promised land, that they're going to sin against God and reject God as their king, and they want a human king over them. He already told them, even before they went in. And now they say to Samuel, "Give us a king." And God says to Samuel, "They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." So we know what they're doing. A king and a kingdom, just like the other earthly ones, have been now established. That is Israel. But when we read the rest of the Old Testament, we see that that kingdom was destroyed. And even when Jesus came, that kingdom was never reestablished. It became nation, but in 1940-something, right? But it has nothing to do with the message of the Bible. Because redemptive history has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ long before that happened in 1940-something. And don't mark me on that. I'm not, man, I my memory on these numbers are not that great. But God, even in the Old Testament, has promised the Messiah and the Messianic kingdom. The eternal kingdom in which our God is the eternal king. The eternal kingdom of God that the Messiah, he will come to accomplish. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying for that kingdom. And we need some Old Testament background here, because God promised this kingdom even from the Old Testament. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he had a dream. And let me read to you Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and of extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, and the belly and its thighs of bronze, and legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron of clay, the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found, but the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So if you could picture, there's a statue, and the head of that statue is gold, and the breast and arm, silver, belly and thigh, bronze, legs, iron, and his feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. Now Nebuchadnezzar, you know, didn't understand what he was dreaming. And we have explanation of it. Daniel explains this dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. And that explanation starts at chapter 2, verse 36. He said, this was the dream. Now we will tell its interpretation before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven had given the kingdom, the power and strength and glory. And whenever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand and has caused you to rule over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you, then another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron. Inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, so like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these in pieces. In that you saw a feet, toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. It will be a divided kingdom, but it will have in it the tongue, toughness of iron, in as much as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. As the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be brittle. And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. Here we see, then, the whole history of the world. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, a king of Babylonian Empire, he said, you are the head of gold. So Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold in that statue. So gold refers to Babylon, the kingdom. And if you look at the history of the world, then it is pretty easy to figure out what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. Verse 39, silver is the next great empire, Persian Empire, Medo-Persian. And next empire, bronze, it was Greek. And the next one, iron, was Roman Empire. And after Roman Empire, we learn from history that there were not any superpower that dominate the whole world. Thus, we have feet, 10 toes, divided kingdom, meaning many nations, partly iron, so some are strong nations, and partly clay, those others are weak nations. Thus, many nations were in domination at the same time. So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel explains it, that dream was about the history of the kingdoms. Then verse 44 and 45, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. So after the period of those toes, the dream continues, right? In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, so it's not, this kingdom is not by man's hand. That stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold. The great God was made known to the king that all what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. So Daniel explains, when many kings were in dominance after Roman Empire, the God of kingdom will set up his own kingdom. And this kingdom, it says, it will never be destroyed. And this kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all the other kingdoms, and it will itself endure forever. God will put an end to all nations and establish his eternal kingdom. This is what God said through Daniel. And that kingdom that God promised, that kingdom will destroy every kingdom in this earth. That kingdom has come in Jesus Christ. But it comes in two stages. First, it comes spiritually, so it's not visible. But when Jesus comes back, it will be visibly consummated. All the nations of the world will be destroyed. Only God's kingdom will remain forever. That has already started. See, if you just judge what happens in this world by your physical eyes, this is nonsense. What God's kingdom? I don't see any God's kingdom. And nations are thriving. What are you talking about, young? But you got to understand what God is saying to you. this kingdom. Only this kingdom will remain forever. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heavenly one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. See, these verses in Daniel chapter 7 point to the time of Jesus' ascension. When he dies and resurrected from the dead and he ascends into heaven, that's when he now sits as a king, king of his kingdom. But that kingdom is not visible yet. This is why people will not believe it, because they don't see it. But you have the Word of God telling you what has happened. When Jesus was ascended into heaven and when he sat down at the right hand of God, he sat down as the king. King of his kingdom. You are citizens of that kingdom. The dominion and glory and a kingdom was given to Jesus Christ. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. We are praying for that kingdom to come. And we know that this kingdom is fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his kingdom. It is the kingdom that he establishes and consummates. And brothers and sisters, this is what we are witnessing in the book of Luke. What are we seeing in the book of Luke? Jesus Christ is establishing his kingdom. But it's the first stage, spiritually fulfilling the kingdom. Just because it's not visible doesn't mean it's not there. The kingdom is there. And one day it will be visible when Jesus comes back. And that day, all the nations and kingdoms in this world will be completely destroyed. Only his kingdom will remain forever. When we say, thy kingdom come, you have to understand what you are asking God. And if you don't want this, why would you keep saying to God every Lord's Day? Unless you really want it to come true. So if you don't understand Lord's Prayer, don't pray. Because then you're just moving your lips without your heart. You don't mean it. Thy kingdom come, but I don't mean it. Don't do that. We do this, we say this to God every Lord's Day. Thy kingdom come. Look at what the Bible says about this kingdom. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, so that I would not be handed over to the Jew, but as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Now, how much more clearly Jesus has to say to you that when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not the kingdom you could see in this world. Luke chapter 17, verse 20, listen to this. Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Bible says his kingdom is not of this world, and his kingdom is not coming with signs to be observed. It's not something you could see. But it came. And Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And you and I, we are citizens of that kingdom. Even though we live here on earth, and people will never see us as such, but we are living as citizens of that kingdom in which Jesus Christ is the King. That's our spiritual reality. That's who we are. And we have to understand that this kingdom has already come. Yes, only spiritually, but it has already come. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. We're going to read it later because we're at verse 2. But if you go down to 20, it says, Jesus says, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When he cast out demons, understand what you are looking at. God is destroying the followers of Satan. Which means he is establishing his own kingdom. So when you see me, Jesus says, casting out demons, then know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Brothers and sisters, this kingdom is our present spiritual reality. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for he, Jesus, rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That verse, he rescued, transferred, past tenses. It already happened. So we have been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Your reality is in that kingdom. Yes, we're talking about spiritual reality, but nevertheless, it's truth. It's just not visible yet. And one day, it will be. And you're going to say, whoa, just like I have believed, I am citizens of that kingdom. Do you remember what God has said about the Israelites as he saved them during the Exodus? Now God says the same thing to the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When God saved Israelites, he said, I'm now making you a holy nation. He says the same thing to the church now. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Understand what has happened to you. Do not just judge things by your physical eyes. And don't listen to what the world tells you.
Who are you and what has happened to you? They don't even know who we are in Christ. Citizens of this marvelous kingdom of God. Now, God's kingdom that we are asking to come, it is already accomplished spiritually. But it is not visibly consummated yet. Just like everything that we are asking in the Lord's Prayer, all are accomplished spiritually. But for the visible consummation, we need to wait until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are able to pray this prayer with complete confidence because it is already accomplished spiritually. We do not doubt at all when we pray. And I want all of us to realize that in order for this prayer to be visibly consummated, Jesus has to come again. So when we are praying this, we're actually praying for Jesus' second coming. And that's exactly what we are praying for. Everything that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, in order for all those things that we pray for to be visibly consummated, Jesus has to come back. So if you really want all these things to happen, you want Jesus to come back. Which means all this prayer, you could summarize into one prayer. Come, Lord, quickly, come. That's what we're praying for whenever we pray. You need to understand what biblical prayer is all about. God has already said, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. So your prayers are not about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. What kind of school I'm going to go, how much money I make, that's not what it is. God said, don't worry about those. Why you keep worrying? Because you have no faith? Is that why? But pray according to what God has taught us. We pray for His return. When He comes back, everything will be just perfect. And that's what these prayers are all about. Thy kingdom come. Do you really want His kingdom to come? Well, then you are asking God to come back quickly. That's what you are saying. See, you don't even know what you're saying, and yet you are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, remember that because it is accomplished spiritually, we must believe and we must witness the reality of this kingdom. How? By obeying Him, our King. Whenever you obey, you show that He is your King and you are the citizens of His kingdom. And when you sin, you're saying, even though it's not true, you are actually showing to the world that Satan is your King because you are obeying him. I know you don't like it, put it like that, but that's what it is. Your allegiance is to the Satan because you want to obey him. That's what sinning is all about. And we can't do that because we are not citizens of Satanic kingdom. We're citizens of Jesus' kingdom. He's our King. So we obey him. The kingdom of God is not, like I said, democratic kingdom. It really doesn't matter what you want. If he is your king, then you are to obey him. He doesn't ask you your opinion. See, this is where so many churches have it wrong. They run church like some kind of democratic entity. So all these surveys asking people what they like. No, we do what Bible says. And if you see our church doing something that is not what Bible says, then you bring it. You correct it. But if a church is doing what Bible is saying, that we are obeying our King Jesus Christ, then you join. You obey too. But that's not how people want these days. So somehow, you know, Christianity is spread as if it's some kind of democratic entity. It's about, you know, by the people and for the people. No, it's by God and it's for Jesus Christ. This is what church is. And I know, like I keep saying to you, we are endangered species because you will not find, you know, people like us anymore. But we are here to obey God. It is His kingdom, and He is the King, and we are His people who obey Him, our King. And as we pray, Your kingdom come, we also pray for the kingdom of Satan is destroyed. We pray for this world to be destroyed. And you need to understand that too. When you say, Jesus' kingdom come, what are you saying? When His kingdom come, then the worldly kingdom will be destroyed. So you're saying, come back and destroy the world. That's what you're saying. And as you say this prayer, Thy kingdom come. How can you seek the worldly things? When that very prayer that you are asking God to do is to destroy the world. How can you at the same time wanting the world? I'm just showing you how ridiculous it is to do that two together. Your kingdom come. Only Jesus is able to accomplish and consummate this prayer. Thus, as we pray, Your kingdom come, we seek Jesus Christ. Because He is the only one who could accomplish this. It is the same prayer, like I said, Apostle John's, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. We long for our Lord Jesus to come and consummate heaven, His kingdom. He's our eternal home. We long for our Lord Jesus Christ to completely consummate His kingdom so that we may enter there and serve and worship Him forever and ever. But remember, even now, this kingdom is already established spiritually. So even as we pray, Your kingdom come, we witness that we are already in His kingdom. Even as we pray, Your kingdom come, we witness that we are already the citizens of that kingdom, for only the true citizens of that kingdom will be able to pray this sincerely, honestly. And by His grace, even as we obey Him more and more, we witness that this prayer is being fulfilled in Jesus Christ even now. We long for that kingdom, our eternal home, to be visible for us as we pray. Your kingdom come, we pray for our King's speedy return. Let me end this prayer, sermon. All of us who pray, Your kingdom come. We are seeking the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of our God. I hope if nothing stays in your memory, I hope this stays. When you pray, your kingdom come, you are seeking the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. We do not set our minds on the things that are here on earth. We set our minds on the things above. We seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are seeking heaven. Our King is coming back, and we'll reign with Him. Revelation 22, verse 3 to 5, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservant will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer any night, and they will not have need of light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun. Because the Lord God will illumine them and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus is coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, God says to comfort one another. But today's Christians, they're embarrassed about saying this kind of stuff. Jesus will come back and He will descend. Now, I don't know. You know, someone who argued with me a long time ago, oh yeah, He will descend. So, you know, we will see Him, but what about Christians down there, you know, the other side of the earth? I don't know. They just want to say this kind of stuff just to negate what we're saying. Our King is coming back, and He will completely and perfectly consummate heaven, our eternal home, and we will reign with Him forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, you know that everything we say to Him has to come from your heart. So when you pray the Lord's Prayer every Lord's Day during worship, first understand what you're saying to God and make sure that it's coming from your heart. If you don't want this world to end, if you don't want Jesus coming back, bringing His kingdom, visibly consummating. If you want this world so much that you want this world to continue, then don't pray Lord's Prayer. Don't say your kingdom come. You don't mean it. But we do mean it. We want His kingdom. We are citizens of that kingdom already. And that's where we're going to be perfect and able to worship our God and loving Him perfectly forever and ever. Of course we pray, Your kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for teaching the Lord's Prayer. Oh Father, through your word, let us understand what we are praying about, what we are praying for, so that we may know the meaning and truly pray these things. For these things are in our hearts. We truly desire it because you have given the new heart to us, that we may desire the same thing that your Son Jesus Christ desires. Oh Father, we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.